Well, let's turn to Romans chapter 8 today. We want to start Romans 8. And this chapter is one of the greatest chapters in the Bible, really. And it is one of the big reasons is that the Apostle Paul, through the Lord Jesus, lays out all of our systematic theology, really. That's a couple long words that they use in seminaries, but just to lay out so much wonderful systematic instruction to us about how to live the Christian life. And what the Christian life involves. And chapter 8 is actually a summation of the first seven chapters of the book of Romans. And it is marvelous in victory, marvelous in instruction because of this fact. We've been studying for several weeks Romans 1 through 7 and seen the many blessings in those chapters, and now the Lord is going to bring us summation of those things, and that is found actually in the first verse, the first few words. And let's just read verse 1 of chapter 8 of Romans, and it says, "There is therefore," that's the word we see here, therefore. In other words, I've said all these things to you in these first seven chapters, therefore. Okay, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Marvelous, marvelous thought, marvelous instruction. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I think this is probably the most used exhortation of encouragement in the body of Christ. Bro, there's no condo. Hey, no condemnation, bro. And I just like a dime every time I've said that, you know, to someone, and someone has said that to me. Because we tend to be self-condemning, and we'll talk about that in depth a little later. But the thing is that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There is God's discipline, always wrapped in His love. I love the way Pastor Chuck has always put it. He says, you know what, the difference between condemnation and God's conviction of sin is that conviction of sin drives us closer to Jesus Christ. But condemnation will drive you away from Him, because condemnation is authored by Satan. Yes, he is a constant accuser of the brothers. And so that will come against you, and it is an enemy to you and to your soul, condemnation and self-condemnation. And some of us really struggle with that, maybe all of us, and maybe it's why it's such a widely used exhortation. No condo, no bondo. You ever heard that one? I love that. There's no bondage if you get away from the condemnation. So no condo, no bondo, bro. And you can say that to each other and seek to really live that and accept that. It's wonderful. So there's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now this clause in many of the early transcripts of the Bible is not in there. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But it doesn't make it any less important, because if you look down at verse 4 with me, it is there. The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So this is a very important concept and will be explained in just a minute here. But the reason I brought this up is simply this. The idea and the thrust of verse 1 is simply, there is now therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, and that must be received and taken in fully without the thought of anything else in this first thought. We just say, yes, the Lord has done it all, and He's taken all condemnation away, and I will never ever as a Christian be condemned on this planet or in the next life. Never ever be condemned because of Jesus Christ. And that is so important to grab first in the mental processes, and then down the 14 inches to your heart, that you know that in your heart. This will give you a new liberty in your life, a new liberty in walking with the Lord, that He is not coming to you with a atmosphere of condemnation, but with an atmosphere of justification and an atmosphere of intercession for you, taking your side with those that would help you, which is a verse from the Old Testament, from the Psalms, taking your side with those that would help you. And so that is the idea that the Lord wants to bring. God is love, and perfect love casts out all fear. And we must be able to say there is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Let's say that together. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now let's read verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, the word Spirit here is used only once in the first 7 chapters of Romans. But here in chapter 8, the word Spirit, the Spirit of God and His ministry, is used 19 times in Romans 8 alone. This is the correct focus. It's the focus for victory in our lives, is to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, on the Father, on the work of the Holy Spirit in my life to do the work and to help me. So the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the fact that He died, He took my sin, and He took my condemnation upon Himself on that cross. And so it's all gone for me, as little kids will say, all gone. It's all gone, the condemnation that I would experience in Christ Jesus. There is none. This has made me free from the law of sin and death. If you do this, you die. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ my Lord. Hallelujah. And so it is that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. And whom the Son has set free is free indeed from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that was weak through the flesh. Now the law of God is never weak. The law of the Lord, now I'm going to quote now from Psalm 19, verse 20. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord are sure, enlightening the eyes and giving us wisdom to walk and the knowledge of sin, as we had in Romans 3. But the weakness of the law is through the flesh. It's because of you and I that the law is weak. It's not strong enough to save us because we in the flesh are weak. For the law could not do what the law could not do, and it was weak through the flesh. God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus Christ took all the sins of the world, past, present, and future, upon His own back on that cross. We're told in 1 John chapter 2 that He didn't just die for our sins, but the sins of the whole world. That means that Adolf Hitler's sins were upon Jesus Christ on the cross. Now, as far as we know, Adolf Hitler never accepted the Lord, so he never accepted that free gift. Therefore, he went on to the bad place, as far as we know. And it would make total sense. But anyway, with the committing of the suicide and the whole thing, the thing is this, is that Jesus did handle that sin for him, though, if he would have agreed. People that go to hell have to step over the body of Jesus to get there. They have to go past the resurrected Lord to get to hell. And some folks choose to do that. But you and I that are in Christ Jesus, that condemnation is taken. It's taken away because He became sin on the cross, the Bible says. The likeness of sinful flesh for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. God did that. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Now, how is the righteousness of the law fulfilled in us? Very simply, Jesus Christ didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill. He fulfilled the law. He never sinned. He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And now, as I ask Him into my life, He comes to live with me inside my heart. And so the righteousness, Jesus Christ, of the law dwells in us as we ask Him to be here, be with us. Who walk not after the flesh, and here's that clause we want to look at. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, walking after the flesh and not after the Spirit, or walking with the Spirit, is explained to us in these next few verses. And that's why I want to go through verse 9 today before we center more in on condemnation to help us with that battle. So it says in verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, I did a little Greek work on this, and I want to give you some definitions from the Greek situation here. Now, in verse 5, the Greek verb, do mind, is given some definitions here. Now, let me read you some definitions. A mindset which includes one's affections. As we're told in Galatians, set your affections on the things above, not on the things on the earth. But a mindset which includes one's affections, mental processes, and I think most importantly, the will. The will. What do I want from this given day? Do I want to keep my mind in a cesspool of things that God hates? Or do I want to think about spiritual things? Do I want to hear from God? Do I want the Lord to lead me? Do I want Him to correct me when He needs to? You see, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, here in this definition, we want to consider the fact that the non-believer actually has his mind set on the things of the flesh, puts his affections on the things of the flesh, has mental processes and thinkings all day about wicked things, and decides by his will he doesn't want anything to do with Jesus. This is condemnation, that judgment has come, or light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And so they make a decision with their will to satisfy the cravings of the unredeemed flesh. Whole purpose. And of course, we all know, folks, that in high school, they were going crazy, doing all kinds of crazy things, the lusts of the youth. And now they're 42 years old, and they've refused Jesus Christ, and they're doing the same old stuff because they can't break loose of it, never maturing, but always thinking about me, 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 and going after the cravings of the flesh. If it feels good to me, I'm going to do it. No matter who it hurts, I'm going to just go ahead and do it. And those folks just fade away as they live a life of dissipation, and like the prodigal son that never comes home. And so we don't want to be like that. And we want to pray for folks that are like that, that would finally come to life. So let's go ahead and read the next few verses here, down to verse 8. Now it says, for to be carnally or worldly minded, and this is the same Greek word, noun form, that's from chapter 5 in the verb form, do mind. To be carnally or worldly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, the worldly mind, is enmity or war against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. There's just no way. Without faith in Jesus Christ, it is impossible to please God, no matter what kind of religious system they might join. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And so there is a choice that we have. And our choice as Christians is to choose the Lord, and to allow Him to work in our lives and in our minds, that we might be spiritually minded, bringing life and peace to our hearts. I want to talk about this in a practical, everyday, down-to-earth way, so we can kind of catch the idea before we look at verse 9, which I believe is the key to, for me anyway, to understanding all that we've read so far, and to go back into bringing condemnation into it. I'd like to just say this about that. It's very simple, and it's just so true. Now, mainly this applies to non-believers, as we've said. They just live a life in the flesh. They just want to buy what they buy with their credit cards and forget about paying it. And they want to just go for it and find what makes them happy. And just if something else looks better, they'll leave whoever just to go on to whoever's out next. And this is the kind of life the world lives. And we all know that. And that's why there's wars in the world, because of the lusts that work in people's souls and hearts. And so we look at that. But you know, for the Christian, if the Christian decides to backslide and to spend a day in the flesh, of thinking of the things of the flesh, going after the things of the flesh, of just filling their minds and hearts with the flesh, you can have a day of death. Doesn't that sound good? How would you like to have a great day of death today? Will you just go ahead and go back in your mind to those things that you've left behind in the Lord and begin to think about them and have a carnal mindset? Now these things can be forgiven by the Lord, and they are forgiven as you come to Him and say, Jesus, forgive me. He is faithful and just because of His sacrifice on the cross to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But my heavens, why do we ever even entertain of taking a day off for death? I mean, come on. And you know what? I believe that that's a big part of the Lord's reasoning with us in our sanctification, in the process of bringing us closer to Him, daily conforming us to His image. He's going, now son, you have this day here, and you've just had a day of death, and how do you feel? For posterity, let me know how you feel right now at the end of the day. And you go, you know, I feel pretty miserable. And you come home and you kick the cat, and you're mean to your kids, and you feel totally guilty before your wife, and you just on edge and Mr. Grump Bump, and you bring a bad spirit into the house and the whole thing, because what have you been doing? Having a day of death. And the Lord then the next day sees, gets you straight, and you ask the Lord in the morning, God, would you fill me with your spirit today? Would you lead me, Lord? Help me with my decision-making processes. And through the course of time, at the end of the good day, what do you have? Life and peace. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so this wonderful peace has come upon me. Whatsoever things deserve praise, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. And the peace of God will rule, will guard your hearts in Christ Jesus. And so you get to the end of that day, you come home, you pet the cat, you're sweet to your kids, and you look your wife right in the eye and say, man, did I ever miss you today? And it's just wonderful. And you see this thing of life and peace happening. So, you know, if you go along in life, and I believe this is the Lord working, you say, okay, compare this day to this day. What would you rather have, A or B? This is a multiple choice question. And I'm sure that even the non-believers would say, give me the life and the peace. But the decision has to be made. Am I going to give it over to the Lord? To be spiritually minded is life and peace. When I was in my 20s, and was really struggling with lust in my 20s, and I went to an older pastor, Bob Whitaker. I'll never forget him because he helped me so much. He's in his 50s. And he says, Mark, he says, I want to encourage you. Some of the best men in the Bible had lust problems, David, and he listed Solomon and so forth. And he said, it means that they had a great capacity for passion, and you can turn that passion to the Lord. And I said to him, because he told me that when he was younger, he really had a problem too, before he got into the ministry. And so I said, Pastor Whitaker, please, please tell me, give me some insight, you know, to work on this, you know. And how did you get free of it? And you know what he says, really simple answer. He just says, you know what, I got really tired of being bummed out. I got tired of feeling like, I'm looking for a word, but, you know, feeling bad at the end of each day. And finding out that my life, when it's hidden in Christ, is just so much better. And, you know, I think that's the way the Lord deals with this. He doesn't want us to try to drive the darkness out, but just turn on the light. And just say, wow, you know, what a great day, Lord. It was so great. And you learn, we learn with the instruction of the Lord by the Holy Spirit, how to draw the line early, because we know where that's going. This might look tantalizing or whatever over here, but if I allow my mind to go that way through the course of the day, I know where the day's going, and I know the difference between life and peace and death, and just the feeling of what a dead day this is, wood, hay, and stubble kind of thing. And he just said that to me. He says, Mark, I just got tired of being bummed out. And I said, you are so right. To live in the purple haze, I think that's a line from some old song, in the purple haze of lusting or being taken away from the Lord, from whatever our problem is. And all of us have different areas and different problems and multiple areas. If I'm just totally into shopping, which I can't understand because I get a headache when I shop. but there are some folks that just shop till they drop, you know, and just, I gotta have more, 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 you know, and just go, go, go. And then at the end of the day, you're just haired, 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 and you got all this stuff, but you just remember the sale you missed, you know. And it's just horrible. Or if you get into, you know, worrying about the bills, you can just get yourself into a frenzy over that. You know, that happens to me in the middle of the night sometimes. The devil doesn't play fair. He will wake you up from a perfect sleep. You know, you go, oh yeah, I forgot about that, you know. Let me dwell on that, you know. And the mind of the flesh, you know, brings death. And then you reach for your Bible, you know, oh man, you know, and get into a place where you can find some light and start reading. The mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Hallelujah. And so God wants to work on that with us, and He does, by His Spirit. And we read again the work of the Spirit 19 times in the book of Romans. The victory comes through the Lord. Now, I wanted to go ahead and read verse 9 to you, because verse 9 is so encouraging on this subject, walking not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Verse 9, you are not in the flesh. He says, but you are not in the flesh. You are not in the flesh but in the Spirit. And I read that and I think, Lord, you're writing through the Apostle Paul to the Christians at Rome, and I would like to take this for my own. That the Apostle Paul would be saying to me in the Spirit, and your Spirit would be saying to me, Mark, you're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. Lord, I like this. And then the if clause is there. And the if clause is wonderful. The Lord did not put some giant if clause on it. He said, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And so the enmity is there and the mind of the flesh is there. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit dwell in you, and that's by invitation. Have you asked Jesus into your life and your heart? Have you done that? Could you raise your hand if you've done that? Oh, I knew it would look like this. It's such a glorious sight to see all these hands. And Margaret raised two hands. Always raising your mom's hand too. That's so great. Amen. Yeah. And both feet, you know. You see, you're not in the flesh. You're in the Spirit of God. And there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Let's say it again. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. This is a liberation. And this is wonderful. It needs to get here and get here. It needs to get here and get here. And we begin to feel this joy. You're probably feeling it already, aren't you? I mean, the joy bubbles begin to bubble when we talk about no condemnation in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's huge. And so what we're seeing here is this, very simply. What is your day like? Is your day saying to the Lord in the morning, I think I mentioned this before, Lord, please help me today. I know I'm going to face some temptations and get some bad thinking, trying to break in, the enemy working on me one thing or the other. Lord, just help me today. Fill my cup, Lord, fill it up. Fill me till I overflow. Bread of heaven, come and fill me till I thirst no more. Fill my cup, fill it up. Make me whole. And as you do that, the Spirit of God is dwelling in you, and you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And as you go to your job, you're working along, and you get a problem that's hard for you to solve, and you just go, Lord, could you help me with this problem? And that's wonderful, and He loves it. He wants to come and help you. And if temptations are there, here, there, or everywhere, whatever they happen, we decide early to call on Jesus. Jesus, fill me with your Spirit. Help me to walk away clean. And the Lord will do that. This is walking in the Spirit. Walking after the Spirit. Thinking and being minded with the things of the Spirit. Always conscious of the presence of the Lord. And that's what pray without ceasing means. Just a simple, all the time consciousness of the Spirit of the living God, who's there to love you, help you, change you, and say to you, you're not in the flesh, you're in the Spirit. Because I'm dwelling inside of you. This is a marvelous place to be, a wonderful thing to happen. Now, with this huge lesson of abiding in Christ, and it's simply said a different way in John 15, we just need to abide, remain in Jesus Christ. And that, you see, is the victory of Romans 8. Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, now with that, I'd like to go back to the idea of condemnation, because we really want to deal with this. Now, no condemnation. This word condemnation is used in judicial settings, at court. The opposite word of condemnation in the time of the writing of this book is justification. You go to court, you get justified, or you get condemned. Condemnation, justification, two opposite words that are legal words. And if you remember when we went through the word justification, we found out then that this was also a word used in judicial settings. It refers to a verdict. Now, condemnation refers to a verdict of guilty and the penalty that verdict demands. That's what condemnation is. And so it's so great that the Lord is telling us that there is no condemnation, no verdict of guilty, and no penalty that that verdict demands in Christ Jesus. Now, there's two other times in the entire New Testament where this same Greek word is used for condemnation. And they're both found in Romans 5. And so I'd like to show you those scriptures. And in these two scriptures, we have the contrast of condemnation and justification, the two opposite words, the two opposite legal words used in both of those verses in contrast. So let's go to Romans 5 and verse 16. Now, this is the teaching in the Word that Adam, through his sin of eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that he was told not to eat from, along with his wife Eve, brought condemnation into the world. But then contrasting that to the second Adam, Jesus Christ, who came into the world to bring justification to the condemnation that Adam brought in. And so in verse 16, it says this of Romans 5, and not as it was by the one that sinned, so is the gift. That's kind of a King James translation phrase that's a little hard to understand. It just simply means this, that the gift that God brought through Jesus is far greater than just forgiving Adam's one sin. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Adam made one sin. He ate from the tree, and he brought condemnation into the world and passed sin on to the generations to come. But the free gift is to forgive many offenses, not just the one sin that Adam did, but all of the offenses that Adam would bring after that, and that you and I, through the years, would bring, and Adolf Hitler and all the rest of the evil people in the world, all of these offenses were covered by the blood of Jesus unto justification, just if I'd never sinned. And our only part is to ask the Spirit of God to come and dwell inside of us. Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. I need you, Lord. Forgive my sin. And it's all taken care of. There's no condemnation. Let's say that again. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Verse 18 has the same comparison. Therefore, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. And so that contrast, so stark and so legal, it's legally binding in the mind of God that you've been justified by the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not guilty. Bam! Stamped on your paperwork. And you just flow it out of the courtroom, a free. And if any man sin, we have an advocate, a lawyer, with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous. There he is. Say, Father, I died for that sin. And the Father goes, not guilty. Yeah. And so it is the way it is. Now, with that, let's go to Romans 8:33. I have two more scriptures to share with you today. But the last one is how we fight self-condemnation. But let's take a look first to solidify this even further to Romans 8, verse 33. Now, we see it here in the first part of Romans 8. We've been talking about it. But in the last part of Romans 8, it's kind of the Holy Spirit crescendo that God gives the Apostle Paul. And I believe it begins right here in verse 33, and it goes to the end of the chapter, but we're just going to read verses 33 and 34 right now. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who shall do that? Now, Satan tries to. Again, he's the constant accuser of a brother in day and night. That's what he does. That's what his whole thing is to accuse you, to condemn you. It is God that justifies. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? What is God doing? He's justifying. That same word that we just saw in those two verses that is opposite of condemnation. Who is he that condemns? The answer again is the devil. The devil is a condemning spirit. He's seeking whom he might destroy in the world. It is Christ that died, yes, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. That's his stance. That's his MO. He makes intercession. He justifies. He ever lives to make intercession for us, we're told. We've had that verse a lot in the last few weeks. And so this is a marvelous, wonderful truth. And it is actually the enemy of our souls that condemns. Now, if you practice self-condemnation, who are you helping? You're helping the enemy. Yeah. You're not helping God. You think it makes God feel better because you're flogging yourself and condemning yourself? No. He's going, "Ay, they. What are they doing? I died to take all that away, and they're condemning themselves." And the devil's going, "Yay, go, go. Yeah, you're right. You really are bad." And, you know, Lord gave me something years ago to demonstrate this, and I know some of you have seen this before, but hey, you get this. This is the devil. "You dirty rat." And I mean, he's going on and on about all the stuff he goes on and on about. And like I say, and maybe this happens to you too, sometimes in the middle of the night, you have no defenses. You've been sleeping, for goodness sakes, dreaming about Cancun or something. I don't know. Anyway, I just said that because one of the little girls in the congregation is about ready to go to Cancun with her parents. And she stopped me yesterday, and she's just a little tyke. And she said, "Oh, Pastor Mark, I'm going to Cancun. And there the water is as warm as this swimming pool. Oh, yeah. And the sand sticks to you." Oh. So she's been getting reports, you know, and just talking about how she's going to lay in the water. And it was just really cute. Anyway, where was I? That was, just came up. I used Cancun. Sorry? We're sleeping. I'm sleeping. And you're having a great dream about Cancun. Oh, yeah. Anyway, so, and the devil wants to just upset you. And so you're coming out of this wonderful sleep, and your eyeballs, and you're going, you know, and he comes and gets right in your face. It says, "Do you remember the bills? Let's think about the bills." What a thrill to think about the bills. And you get in the flesh with worry, strife, anxiety, or other things, you know, whatever channel he's on with you. You know, I found out too that the devil tried channel 2. Well, that's not working. Let's go to channel 4. You know, try the different channels in your life. He knows your buttons. Beep, you know. Let me push this button for you. And he looks at your face, you know. But if you go, "Jesus," you know, he goes, "Oh, we've got to change to channel 7 now." Anyway, you know what I'm saying. And the Lord is there to help. And the Lord wants to transform us and take us out of that, to really get out of that self-condemnation thing. So the devil's always there. We need to learn how to rebuke him, to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Say, you know, that's not from the Lord. Jesus says, the Bible says, Jesus through Paul, the Holy Spirit through Paul. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And the devil's condemning and accusing and all kinds of things that he does. Now, if you join him, you've got a problem. Oh, you do. And then as you join him and accept the lie in your face with discouragement, and the devil put his foot on your neck and make you think it's over. It's all over for you. All gone. No more love. I want to just enter into a mighty nice, confusing depression. Won't that be fun? A day of death. Let's enjoy it. You know. And so that's what he has for us. He's a really not nice man. So, I need to go on here and get done. Okay, so get into these things. So the self-condemnation is incorrect. Amen? It's not right. And I think that that's why we do many times need to encourage one another. No condo, bro. No condo bondo, bro. No condo bondo, sis. The bondage that comes from condemnation, it's not of the Lord. It's not from God, because there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. There is discipline from the Lord. It's always loving, beautiful discipline to bring us closer to Himself. And it's never condemning. Never condemning, because you belong to Him and He belongs to you. He's given us examples on the relationships we have on earth. You've got a little 2-year-old son or daughter, and they throw tantrums, and you get upset with them, and you discipline, you give them a timeout, a little hit on the hand or the popo or whatever. You know, you're not supposed to go into full-on spankings until later. You know, when they have tough skin Levi's on, then you gotta get to the spankings. But anyway, you got this little 2-year-old, and you're going to discipline, you're going to correct him, but are you going to throw him out the front door? Come on. Look, you've been tantrumizing too long, you know, and so I'm really sorry, but, you know, I know that you're my son, but... Now, some folks will do that. Evil folks that are filled with Satan would do that kind of thing, but not normal moms and dads. There's no way. Well, this is the way it is with the Lord. He's your Father. And He's never going to condemn you and cast you out. I will never leave you nor forsake you. No one will ever pluck you out of my hand, Jesus said. And He wanted to emphasize that, so the next thing He said was, no one will ever pluck you out of the Father's hand. Now you've got the Father and the Son holding you. And man, you are held by the power of God in their hands. They love you. And so this condemnation thing is not of the Lord. It has to be dealt with. And we need to encourage one another. And we do in the body of Christ. No condo, no bondo, bro. No condemnation, bro. Lighten up. Let the love of God work here. And it's a beautiful thing. Okay, how can we work on this? One more scripture. 1 John 3:18. Towards the back of the Bible. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18. How can we work on moving away from self-condemnation, which is totally not of God? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby, by the fact of loving as little children, I always love it when God calls us as little children. Just love the Lord and love your neighbor. Just practice that. Move towards that. Pray for that. Hereby then, from loving and receiving God's love, freely receive, freely give. You can't freely give till you freely receive. So we open our hearts to Him and we just start loving others. Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts. You want assurance in your hearts to get move away from self-condemnation? Just start loving Jesus and loving those folks around you. Yes, and forgiving. We assure our hearts before Him. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. The devil gets going on you, persuades you to get going on yourself. and your heart starts to condemn you? What does it say here? God is greater than your heart, because this is wrong. This is wrong. And he's greater than that. He's not going to condemn you, even though you condemn yourself. And I love that idea. It would be horrible if this said, you know, that if your heart condemns you, then the Lord says, well, I guess I'll condemn him too. No, it says God is greater than your heart. And then it goes on and says this, beloved, if our heart condemns us not, because our hearts have been assured through simple love for others, then shall we have confidence toward God. I love this clause. I want to stand with confidence toward God. Now, not confidence in myself, but confidence in the love of God for me, with no condo, no bondo, thank you very much. No condo, no bondo, being assured in my heart that God loves me and he's got a good plan for me. And I want to rest in that. Do you want to rest in that? Amen, you do. Yeah. And so that's where we want to go. And these are the scriptures to work to get there, is to just allow that love. You know, I got into a huge condemnation thing a little while ago, and I think that's why I can teach this with power right now in the Lord, because, man, I just got into this huge condemnation thing on myself. And it went like this. People are moving away from the church, and a whole bunch of people in a lot of places. And you know, it's a blessing. It is, because God's using them all in these other states. And so then, you know, but the pews are getting a little emptier. And then folks started going over to East Anaheim a little bit. Some folks felt led to go there in West Grove. And the enemy came in like a flood and just began to accuse me. It's your fault. Oh, yeah. You're a dirty dog. You are the worst pastor that ever walked the face of the planet. And I think that God's probably done with you now. Oh, and when that lie came, and when I picked up on that lie and started saying, oh, man, God's maybe done with me. And begin to feel that the Lord just couldn't handle me any longer. Man, that was the darkest time. And I went to a pastor's conference. I think I shared this with you before. And I was sitting at lunch, and I didn't know any of the pastors. And I was feeling like this, you know. I felt like all the pastors were there and having fun. And then there's me in the chair, you know, with my eyes over the, you know, the lunch table, you know, going, you know. And Jim Calloway from Calvary Chapel San Antonio came and sat next to me. I know Jim really well. And I just broke out in tears in front of God and everybody right over my sandwich. And I buried my face in Jim's chest and just cried and cried, because I thought that God was done with me. And so Jim took me out, and it was so great. I mean, his eyes, it always remind me of Jesus' eyes now. Because he just, those eyes, he was so filled with the Spirit, and he ministered to me, and I began to sense and feel the love of God again. But it was a trial that lasted a long time, because, you know, there was a lot of sections in the church that were like empty and stuff. And you go, what happened? It's you. You did it. You're really a lousy, lousy whatever. And it's all over for you, dude. And so that's where I was. Anyway, you know how God began to heal that? And I remember the first feeling of real healing from that lie. And it's that at the end of a service one day, this brother came down the aisle, and he was in great need of love. And I just received the compassion of Jesus for him. And as it says here in the Word, as the love begins to flow through you to others, all of a sudden your heart is assured. Mark, I'm still with you. I'm using you as a vessel right now with this dear brother that needs your help. And the love that was flowing with the Lord filling me and using me with this bro, I began to realize again, it doesn't matter how empty the pews are, the angels will come and fill them in. And that I'm just to go ahead and love you with all that I have in Jesus Christ. And the rest is up to him. It's just all up to him. And you know, I am truly blessed with how that began a healing, and I see so many precious things happening in our church on the individual level and the groups that you guys start and loving people. And that's what it's all about. And so the heart was assured, the self-condemnation began to go away, and I can openly share about this now. It was a while because I was real sore in my heart about it. I couldn't really share my heart about it, but to let you know about that. And I want to just pass on this lesson, and let's say it together. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. His plans for us are not for evil, but for good, that we might have a future and a hope, and His plans are perfect. Amen?
Amen.
Beautiful. Let's pray together, and then the band will come out and thrill our hearts. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this Bible truth. I do pray for myself and for my brothers and sisters. Lord, help us with this. Lord, there's so many dear ones I know in this church are very serious-minded people. And Lord, it seems that very serious-minded people seem to have the most problems with self-condemnation. Lord, we just want to move clean from it. Always trusting you, Lord. Always waiting upon you, Lord. Never receiving accusations that come from the enemy. Lord, we thank you for your position. You've justified. You're an interceder. You take our side with those that would help us. And so, Lord, we thank you, God. Help us to keep going in you, Lord. Keep trucking for Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you don't know the Lord Jesus today, as your personal Savior, you've seen from the study today, and it's so true all through the Word of God, you must have Him living inside of you. No religion, relationship. Relationship is the key word. Got to be walking with Him, talking with Him to receive that life and that peace. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. You must deal with the sin. You must ask Jesus to forgive you. So you can do that right today. Come to the prayer room, or if anyone's here that needs prayer for anything, come on to the prayer room. May the Lord bless you now and just give you a great day in Him. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you. Thank the Lord. Amen.